On our subject of prayer last week, we talked some about it, and it's our ability, prayer is our ability to experience direct talk and requests with our Father in heaven. And you know, when I think about that, I think, man, that's amazing. It's amazing that you and I have direct access and we can talk to the Creator. And, you know, so I want to start with all of us saying this verse out loud. This is our scripture for today. So say it. And as you're saying it, remember, God, these are God's words to us as you read it. All right, let's read it. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. There it is in print. Pray and God listens. You know, when we say access, it means an entrance. And one of the translations of that word access from the Greek is the right to speak. God's given us the right to go to the Father and speak to him himself. And we're saying that when we pray, God listens. Now, last week we addressed the concept of prayer changes things. And the problem that I have with a concept to chair prayer changes things is there is an issue when it does and there's an issue when it doesn't. And I really want to talk about the issues when it doesn't this morning, because prayer changes things has a tendency to make us feel like God's going to answer our prayer every time we pray hard enough, or if we pray with spirituality or whatever. And here's the real deal. When we pray, if we allow God the space to answer our prayers for our good, what's good for us, and not our lusts and not our desires for comfort and ease of life, it gives him that ability to answer that. But in his infinite wisdom, it is not always yes. Have you discovered that yet in your Christian life? Yeah. And you know, everybody goes around, God answers prayer and he's going to answer every prayer. No. I'm sorry, you're at the wrong church. God doesn't always say yes, and because of that, people assume that God's a preoccupied listener, like he's running his creation and he can hardly hear us. And it always makes me laugh, because every time I think about that, I think about my granddaughter, Annie. She's 15 now, but when she was about Brecken's age, he wanted to talk to me, and I was preoccupied, so she grabs me by the face, and she pulls it up and goes, Grandpa, I'm talking to you. And our family laughs about that, because it was so funny, but you know what? Don't we kind of feel that way about God sometimes? We got to grab his face and talk to him, because he may not hear us, and of course, if he hears us, he'll answer the prayer. I'm here today as God's spokesman to tell you he listens. He listens to every prayer prayed. He considers every prayer, but he simply answers them in our best interest. And that may be yes, that may be silence, it may be no, it may be simply wait, it may even be you're too immature for me to give you anything in this area yet. We don't know what God thinks, do we? Because his wisdom is infinite. As a wise parent, and we do not give everything our child asks for, because it may not be in their best interest, God does the same thing. Let me give you an example. I had four children. Three of them were boys, and I had a very strong-headed son, one of them. I'm not going to name him. That way they can guess, but I think they all know. And when this guy was little, we were playing out in the front yard. I was playing with the kids, and all of a sudden, he bolted through the fence, and he ran right out into the middle of the street because there was a cat. He wanted to either pet or pester, you know, how the kids are. And so he goes right out in the middle of the street, and so I went right out there, and I told him, you've got to come back in. You cannot be there. And he said, yeah, but Dad, I just want to pet the cat. Well, we lived on a bus route. Even though it was a pretty quiet, sleepy neighborhood, we had a bus route, and about every 30 minutes, a city bus came roaring by, and I mean, they were doing 35 or whatever, especially if they were late on their route, they'd go by there pretty fast. Now, why wouldn't I want my son to pet the cat? Because he may be flat with the cat because of the bus, right? So as a responsible parent, I would tell, no, you can't go into the road, and if you do, there's going to be consequences. You cannot do that. And he's going, but Dad, I want to pet the cat. Why won't you let me pet the cat? It wasn't the cat, was it? You know, we're like my son, and we don't comprehend at the time, if not every time, the full picture that God has. Even becoming resentful at times because God doesn't give us what we want when we think we need it. And he certainly doesn't repair the mistakes we make. Somehow, when we make a mistake, we always have to walk through those consequences. Don't you hate it? Man, I'd love to do something and not have to face those consequences. And you know what's funny about that is when we turn around and we see someone else and they pray for something and we go, oh man, that would not be a good thing for you to do if you got that prayer answer. Do you ever done that? Yeah, we always see it in others. It's just hard to see in ourselves. But you know, I love the stories where God answers prayers. I mean, I love, one of my favorites is George Mueller. Now, George Mueller was a missionary from Germany that came over to Britain, and he began to preach and that kind of thing. And ultimately, he really saw the need for orphanages because there were so many kids without parents. And so he began to collect these kids, began to get these orphanages going, and he never once told anybody his need. He had rent, he had food, he had clothes. At one particular time, he was up to 1,722 orphans in 4 orphanages, okay? And just understand, what would it take to pay the rent on that? All the kids to eat and all the clothes so that they had clothes and shoes, and not once did he ever tell anybody his need. He just, in the morning, get up and pray in the food, pray in the clothes, pray in the rent. And over the time that he had these orphanages, and we're talking the 1800s now, he raised $2.7 million in the 1800s. That's equivalent to about $140 million now. Without saying a word to anyone. A 250,000 Bibles he gave out. 1.5 million New Testaments. All being raised through getting up in the morning and having, he had this routine of early prayer. And it stirs my heart every time I read it, because every time I think about his sheer faith in God, it provokes me to want to be able to have prayer like George Mueller. How about you? Man, that's incredible. And people would come to his doors for no particular reason and write out a check or say, you know, I had all this food and I was wondering if you could use it. And I remember one particular time when a guy did that, George Mueller had all of his orphans at the table with their silver, with their plates, with their cups, and nothing. And he was in his office praying on his knees with all of his staff, Lord, please God. And this guy has a whole boatload of food. And he comes to the door and he said, I don't know if you can use this. And each time I look at that prayer effort by people, it increases my faith, but in great ways. It makes me reexamine my heart as to what I'm praying for. You know what I'm saying? Am I doing what God desires? Are you doing what God desires? Is my prayer centered around others, or is my prayer centered around me and my selfish needs and my comfort? And stories like that motivate us to pray more and more, and so we pray, we get specific and bold, and we, when we look at the God answers prayer or prayer changes things, we pray with a level of faith that we haven't had before, with enthusiasm that we've never experienced before, and then we get completely discouraged when we get bold with God and all we get is silence. Ask, seek, knock, but God is silent. Have you got to your place in the Christian life where you realize that God is silent on your prayers at times? And the things that we want don't materialize. Our zeal is crushed. And we wonder what happened. And pretty soon we're asking the question, is it worth it? If God's not going to listen to us, why are we doing this? But we need to ask those questions in our heart, because it becomes too much about us. Are you following me? It's too much about our comfort. It's too much. And I look at that and I think, please, God, let me play with the cat in the street. Right? God, why won't you let me? And God is trying to tell me, bus. Can you hear me this morning? You know, cable television mogul Ted Turner used to live here in Denver and then went to L.A. and started Turner Classics, and he has quite a few things, and he's now one of the loudest voices criticizing Christianity. And it was, and he has said that he was had a strict Christian upbringing, and he even considered at one point being a missionary and in his life, and the Atlanta Journal quoted him as saying that he had prayed to be saved 7 or 8 times in his life. And he said he became disenchanted with Christianity, and I'm probably God, when despite his prayers, she didn't get well and his sister died. And that was the end of it. He had prayed for her to get well and she didn't. You know, God's no and God's silence is not just limited to those who are sinful and don't know Christ. No matter how spiritual you may be or think you are, there are going to be times when God is just silent on your prayer, and it doesn't matter how much you've sacrificed or endured for the cause of Christ. Ask the Apostle Paul. Now here's a guy that God specifically called out, stopped him on the road to Damascus, saved him, got him up going and said, I am sending you to the Gentiles. And Paul goes out to the whole world, preaches the gospel, and that's why we're here this morning, when you stop to think about it. And so he gave him the go-ahead to offer salvation to the Gentile. He was deeply in the center of God's desires. And what was his life like? Let's see. I think he drove a Mercedes, didn't he? He had the abundant financial life, right? He was rich because, after all, he was God's spokesman. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read what he has to say, because I think what he has to say has a huge message for us this morning. Verse 24 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. It doesn't mean that he got an award. It means he was beat 39 times, 5 times. 3 times he was beaten with rods. And I don't know, some of you may remember back in history where American got caned back in Indonesia, I think, and everybody was up in arms because getting caned is worse than even getting whipped. I guess it hurts pretty bad. Once I was stoned. No, he didn't go to a marijuana medical. Rocks were thrown at him until he was killed. Died. I think he died and rose again. I'll talk to you about that a little bit later. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Man, this guy's got bad luck. A night and a day, I have been in the deep, in journeys often. In perils of water, or fears, or problems of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil. Ooh. In sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, because he didn't have any food, in cold and nakedness, and besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern was for my well-being and health. No. His deep concern was for the churches, others. Others. You know, it doesn't matter how much you've accomplished for Christ. There will be times when it feels like God's turning a deaf ear to your requests. And Paul accomplished a great deal for God. Did you just hear what his life was like? I mean, we got it great, don't we? I mean, we have to have a lot of chutzpah to ask for more comfort. Oh, man. And even with him, there was times when God was silent or said no. And if it happened to Paul, what are the chances it's going to happen to us? How do you respond when it happens in your life and you feel like God is turning a deaf ear? You know, I was just, last service I mentioned that sometimes, do you realize that God's answer is death? And, you know, I said that, and a lady came up to me afterwards, and she said, I'm so glad you said that, because I just lost my mother-in-law last night. And she said, when you said that, I feel like I've been released because God's taken her home. She knew Christ, and God's taken her home. Listen, God is not Santa Claus. I know that gets mixed up. But God is not Santa because Santa does not do what's in your best interest. Do you realize that? Or your kid's best interest. His desire is to make himself happy giving you gifts. That is not God. God does what's best for us. And sometimes it's not very likable. Now, last week... this is Rick and Deb Bassett. She is our children's leader. And Rick had a retirement, and last Thursday, not just this Thursday, but the Thursday before, they had a retirement at Commerce City because he had worked 40 years in public works and parks and a few other places. And he'd put in all that time there, and it was a neat retirement. And I mean, people were tearing up, and the guy sang a song to Rick, and people were hugging him, and it was really a sweet time, and I was so privileged to go to that. And as soon as it was over, Rick's kind of anxiously looking, because he's the one that would usually take down all the tables and that kind of thing. We're telling him, no, Rick, you know, it's your retirement. You know, let the other guys do it. And about a half an hour later, we're thinking, let's go to Starbucks and get an iced tea or something like that, and all of us talk. And so Rick's out in the parking lot, and I can see him, and he calls Debbie and on the phone. And I think, that Rick, man, he loves his phone, you know. And so Debbie's listening. So finally I said, well, are we going to go to Starbucks meeting up in Brighton? And she said, no, Rick and I have an appointment. I said, well, okay, you know. So the rest of us went, get a call. Rick's in the hospital. He's had a heart attack. He would call in from the parking lot to Debbie to tell him that he had chest pains. And so they drove him home, or he drove home, and when he got there, Debbie called him and said, how you doing? He said, they're worse. And so they called an ambulance. The ambulance took him right over to North Suburban, and it just so happened that the doctor was prepared for surgery, and they took him right in. Scoped him, found out that 90% of his artery was only flowing at about 10% of its volume. And when he came out, he said, yes, he was in the middle of having a heart attack, but we were able to save him. And all this happened within an hour and a half. And as we sat at the hospital, listen to this guy, he said, yeah, we were ready to go. And so we went, and he said, any other occasion, Rick wouldn't have made it. Now, I look back at that, and he's doing well. In fact, Rick's back there right now. Oh, raise your hand, Rick. They all want to know who had the heart attack. Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing. A week earlier, we were riding peak to peak on our motorcycles. What if Rick had the heart attack then? He'd be dead. We couldn't have got him anywhere fast enough to be able to do something about it. And I look at it and I think, well, God, that was kind of a drag that he's at his retirement party and then starts having heart attack symptoms. You know, that's a little rude. Right? That's the way we think. How does God think? He does what's best for us. And, you know, we can't stand here and say God orchestrated. All he didn't orchestrate his heart attack. It just worked out that way, and I think it was God's best in that. But, you know, we look at it, and we just don't know how God thinks, and we don't know what's best for us. I'm sorry, we're children. We're children when it comes to God. But how's Paul, when Paul prays earnestly for a legitimate concern, and his concern was, we know by the way he writes that he had bad eyesight. I don't know if he had any other health problems, but we do know that when he came to Christ and he saw Christ, that some cataracts formed on his eyes, for better of a better word, and then somebody prayed and they fell off, but he never seemed to have his eyesight back to normal. When he writes his scripture, he dictates it and somebody else writes it down. He says, you see that I'm writing with my own hand, and it's these big, big letters because you can't see. Now, here's the Apostle Paul who turns the Christian world, the secular world upside down with Christianity. So we sit here today, and what would you do if you're Paul and pray? What would you pray? God, help me with my eyesight so I can read my Bible, right? So that I can write the scripture. Well, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start with verse 5, and we're going to read what Paul prays and what God answers. Verse 5. And I put this into the New Living Translation, so it's a little more readable. So if you have your New King James open, it may not quite follow. That experience is worth boasting about, and that is that he went that back in Lystra when he went, that one time when he got stoned with rocks, he apparently died, went up into heaven, and then he came back down and was raised from the dead and took off again. Says he just got up and left and went back into the city. And during that time, he saw heaven. And so when he saw heaven, the Lord said, and do not tell anybody what you've seen. Well, what a drag, huh? Man, I would want to tell everybody. Wouldn't you? Whoa, you won't believe how many angels I saw. And so he said that experience is worth boasting about, wouldn't it be? But I'm not going to do it. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Verse 8. 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is enough for you. He says, my grace is all you need. Boy, that's not a very good answer to prayer to the guy you've chosen to reach the whole world for Christ, is it? He said, my power works best in weakness. I want you to think about this for a minute. My power works best in weakness. My power, God's power, works best in our weakness. God's power works best in our weaknesses. What do we think? God works best when we're strong. Right? That's the way we think, and God says the reverse. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And we say, when I am strong, then I am strong. That's the way we look at it. But how does God look at it? When I am weak, then I am strong. What's your prayer today? What are the things you praying about? Is it, Lord, strengthen me so I can? What does the scripture say? Weaken me, Lord, so I can. That's amazing. God, help me to understand how weak I am so that I can place my trust totally in you and not depend on my flesh at all, right? But that's not the way we pray. We pray like this when we're real spiritual. God, give me the power and might to do your work, right? Please take care of my money issues and make me an influence so I can impact people for Christ. Remove my health issues so I can serve you better. And please take the pain out of my knees because it's distracting. You know what that prayer is? Lord, I just want to play with the cat. I just want to play with the cat. I, me. What are your prayers like? Let me close with just this question. Will you this week, as you pray, look at what you pray and realign your prayer to the scripture? Will you do that? Realign it back to see whether you're adding comfort to your life or whether you're really praying to reach out to others. Let's pray. Father, we come confessing that we pray for comfort, Lord. We pray for what we want to do. We pray for our lusts. We pray for all the things our flesh will be satisfied with. And at times, we pray for others and we pray for them in our weakness. And Lord, I just pray this week, as we go about our business, we will really take a look at how we pray. Are we praying for your kingdom and for your work and your people? Is that our concern, or is our concern to just be comfortable? Lord, help us. That's the prayer we have today. Help us in our weakness.